الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الطاهر الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين كنا في الدروس السابقة قد تكلمنا عن أحكام الطهارة من وضوء وغسل وغير ذلك، وعن أحكام الصلوات الخمس وأركانها ومبطلاتها وشروطها، وعن الجمعة والجماعة. الآن نتكلم إن شاء الله عن تجهيز الميت. If you remember in the past classes we talked about the purification, making wudu, making ghusl, their integrals, their invalidators, about the five prayers, their integrals, their conditions, what invalidates the prayer, about praying in congregation, about the prayer of Jumu'ah. Now, inshallah, we are going to discuss the issue of preparing the dead person to be buried and burying him. غسل الميت وتكفينه والصلاة عليه ودفنه فرض كفاية إذا كان مسلما ولد حيا. The author said, washing, shrouding, praying for, and burying the dead Muslim is a communal obligation if he was born alive. شرح ذلك أن تجهيز الميت من فروض الكفاية. فإذا مات ميت مسلم فأهمل تجهيزه، ترك على ظاهر الأرض إلى أن انتفخ، وأنتنت رائحته، أثم كل من علم بموته فلم يجهزه. Preparing a person, a Muslim person who dies to be buried and burying him is a communal obligation. So if a Muslim dies and he is left on the surface of the ground without burying him until
his body is warm
and has a bad order, then all the Muslims who knew about him and did not help, did not prepare him to be buried, all of them would be sinful. إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ لَهُ عُذْرٌ. Of course, except the one who has an excuse. وَهَذَا يَشْمَلِ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ. And this includes both men and women. All of them are sinful if they don't do that thing, if all of them neglect doing that without an excuse. فَإِذَا وُلِدَ وَلَدٌ. إِذَا وُلِدَ وَلَدٌ مَحْكُومٌ لَهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ وعاش لحظة ولد حيا ثم بعد لحظة مات وجب له هذه الأمور الأربعة التي ذكرناها. So even if a Muslim is born, and after one moment, he dies. In this case, يعني he is born alive. And after a little bit, this person dies. Then those four things need to be done. يعني غسله وتكفينه والصلاة عليه ودفنه, which means to wash him, shroud him, pray for him and bury him. Those four things need to be done. اما الذم فلا يجوز الصلاة عليه, وانما ان لم يترك مالا يكفن ويدفن منه ولا قام بذلك أهل ملته كفناه نحن ودفناه. As for the non-Muslim who is dhimmi, that is, a dhimmi can be a Christian, a Jew, or a Majus. Only those three types of non-Muslims can be among dhimmis. If this person dies, then of course we do not pray for him. It is not an obligation to wash him. But if he does not leave any money to be shrouded and buried, and the people of his religion do not take care of shrouding him and burying him, then we do that. We shroud this dead person and we bury him. ولا يدفن في مقابر المسلمين. Of course, he is buried not in the cemeteries of Muslims. لأن الذي وقف تلك المقابر وقفها لأموات المسلمين. Because the one who dedicated this piece of land to be a cemetery, he dedicated it for the Muslims who die to be buried in it. This is why we do not bury a non-Muslim in a cemetery for Muslims. وغسل الميت يكون بتعميم كل بدنه وشعره مرة بالماء المطهر. Washing the dead person takes place by washing all his hair and his skin once with purifying water. أما ما زاد عن الغسلة الواحدة فهو سنة. If he is washed for more than one time, then washing him a second and a third time is sunnah. It is not an obligation. The obligation is to wash him once. حتى لو مات بالغرق يجب غسله. Even if this Muslim dies by drowning, it is an obligation to wash him, although he dies out of drowning. ولا يكتفى بغرقه. It is not enough that he is that he drowned. كذلك لا بد من غسل القاتل الذي قتل مسلما ظلما فقتل لذلك لا بد له من غسل لأنه مات مسلما ولو كان ارتكب ذنبا عظيما. Likewise, if the person who dies is an enormous sinner, is a Muslim who is an enormous sinner, still he has to be washed. Like if he kills a Muslim unjustly, and because of that he was killed, he was punished by killing him. After he is killed, we need to wash him. We cannot leave him without being washed because he did that enormous sin. حتى لو انتحر لا بد من غسله. Even if one kills himself, if he suicides, in this case he needs to be washed. It is an obligation to wash him. And take note here that killing oneself, suiciding by itself, is not blasphemy. It is an enormous sin. It is the most enormous sin after blasphemy. Killing oneself, suiciding. But by itself, it is not blasphemy. Now, if one does it to object to Allah, then it would be blasphemy because he is objecting to Allah. Or if one does it while believing that it is permissible for him to kill himself, then it would be blasphemy. But just killing oneself is not considered blasphemy. الانتحار وحده مجرد الانتحار ليس كفرا إنما هو أعظم ذنب بعد الكفر. إلا إذا انتحر الشخص اعتراضا على الله فإنه يكفر لأنه اعترض على الله عز وجل. أو إذا انتحر الشخص مستحلا ذلك معتقدا أن الانتحار جائز فإنه يكفر عند ذلك. وإلا مجرد الانتحار ليس كفرا لكنه ذنب عظيم أعظم ذنب بعد الكفر. قال المؤلف ولسقط ميت غسل وكفن ودفن ولا يصلى عليهما. The author said, moreover, washing, shrouding, and burial are obligatory for a stillborn Muslim, the funeral prayer is not performed for him. يعني أن السقط أو خلينا نقول يعني أن المرأة إذا أسقطت أي خرج منها الولد ميتا، ما خرج حيا ثم مات، خرج منها الولد ميتا بعد خروجه ما اختلج اختلاجا اختياريا ولا صاح، إنما خرج ميتا، هذا إما أن يكون ظهر فيه خلقة آدمي أو أن لا يكون ظهر فيه خلقة آدمي. إن لم يكن ظهر فيه خلقة آدمي هذا لا يجب تكفينه ودفنه، إنما يسن لفه بخرقة ودفنه لأنه ما ظهر فيه خلقة آدمي. فإن ظهر فيه خلقة آدمي فإنه يجب غسله وتكفينه ودفنه ولا يصلى عليه. If a woman has a miscarriage, so she the fetus is born dead. It was not born alive, and then after a period of time the fetus died. No. After being born he did not move in a voluntary way, did not scream. He was dead. Immediately he was dead. In this case, either this stillborn carries the structure of a human being or not. If it carries the structure, if he carries the structure of a human being, then we need to wash, shroud, and bury him. It is an obligation to do those three things. But it is not permissible to pray for him. We do not pray for him. If he does not carry the structure, what was born, if you want, does not carry the structure of a human being, then it is sunnah, it is not an obligation, it is sunnah to wrap that with a piece of cloth, for example, and bury him. It is not an obligation. لا ينفي أنه لا يجوز. ومن مات في قتال الكفار بسببه كفن في ثيابه فإن لم تكفه زيد عليها ودفن ولا يغسل ولا يصلى عليه. The author said, whoever dies as a result of fighting the blasphemers will be shrouded in his battle clothes. If the battle clothes are not enough, more material will be added. He will be buried but not washed, and the funeral prayer will not be performed for him. معنى ذلك أو شرح ذلك أن الشهيد لا يجوز غسله ولا الصلاة عليه، وهو من مات مسلما ولو كان غير بالغ في قتال الكفار في الحال التي يجوز فيها القتال، في الحال التي يطلب فيها القتال. إذا مات كافرا في قتال، إذا مات مسلما في قتال الكفار ولو كافرا واحدا بسبب القتال، ولو كان هذا الكافر مرتدا، بسبب القتال يعني لو رمحته دابته، لو رفسته دابته فقتلته في أرض المعركة، أو لو رجع عليه سلاحه فقتله، فإنه عند ذلك يعد شهيد معركة فلا يغسل ولا يصلى عليه. لا يغسل إبقاء لأثر الشهادة عليه، ولا يصلى عليه لأن الله تولاه برحمته فأغناه عن دعاء المصلين، ويكفن في ثيابه فإن لم تكفه، إذا لم تكفي هذه الثياب لتكفينه يزداد عليها ما يكفي لتكفينه. If a Muslim, even if he is not a pubescent, dies in the battlefield while fighting non-Muslims, of course justly, if he is fighting them justly, then if he dies in the battlefield because of the battle, even if the enemy was one person, even if the enemy was an apostate, in this case, this Muslim would be considered, would be judged in what pertains the issue of burial, jinaza and burial, as a martyr. This includes even if his animal, like his horse, kicks him, and because of that he dies. Or he would be using a weapon and mistakenly this weapon hits him. In all those cases he would be considered as a martyr. So as you can notice, if he dies while fighting Muslims, even if he is doing that in a just way, not unjustly, he would not, if he dies, he would not be treated in the same way in what pertains to the burial issues. So this is why we said non-Muslims. What is this way? This person would not be washed for the trace of martyrdom to remain on him. What does that mean? The martyr comes on the day of, he would be resurrected on the day of judgment with the blood that is on his body remaining, yani, with that blood having the smell of musk in a nice way. He would be resurrected in a nice way. So he would not be washed. And you don't, it is not permissible to pray for the martyr. Allah Ta'ala promised the martyr with a lot of mercy. So he does not need for the people to ask mercy for him. He would be shrouded with his clothes, with the clothes in which he died. If they are not enough, then other things would be added to shroud him. If the clothes are not enough to cover him, then other things would be added to shroud him. And he would be buried, of course. So he would be shrouded in his clothes and buried, not washed and not prayed for. ولو نزعت عنه ثيابه الملطخة بالدم وكفن بغيرها جاز. Now if his clothes are taking were taking off him and he was shrouded with something else, it is permissible. أما الذي يموت غرقا أو حرقا أو بمرض الطاعون أو غير ذلك من أسباب الشهادة الأخروية فهذا يغسل ويكفن ويصلى عليه ويدفن كغيره لا يعامل معاملة شهيد المعركة في أمر تجهيز وإن كان تغفر له ذنوبه كما تغفر ذنوب شهيد المعركة. Now if one is considered a martyr in what pertains the matter of the hereafter, in what pertains the hereafter, like the Muslim who dies out of drowning, or if he is burnt, or because of the plague, or the like, then he is considered a martyr in what pertains the hereafter, which means he is not going, all his sins would be erased by him dying like that. But he is washed, shrouded, prayed for, and buried. He is not treated in what pertains those issues in the same way the martyr in which the martyr who dies in the battlefield is treated. ولا يسأل الشهيد في قبره. This martyr who dies in the battlefield, the angels do not question him in his grave. لذلك لا يلقن. That's why At-talqeen is not done to him after he is buried. After he is buried, he wouldn't be addressed that Ya Abdullah, Ya Ibn Amatillah, Uzkur al-Ahd al-Lazhi Khawajta alayhi min al-Dunya ila akhirihi. He would not be addressed with this statement. وَرُوحُهُ تَكُونُ فَوْرًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Once he is killed, his soul would be in paradise, enjoying in paradise. وَيَصِلْ أَثَرْ ذَلِكَ إِلَى جَسَدِهِ فِي الْقَبْرِ. The enjoyment that the soul gets in paradise reaches, the traces reaches his body in his grave. لذلك لا تأكله الأرض. This is why his body is not decayed. The soil does not eat it. شهداء أحد بعد سنين عديدة واحد منهم كان يضع كشف السيل قبورهم فكانت أجسادهم كما هي وواحد منهم كان يده كان يضع يده على كانت يده موضوعة على جرحه فلما أزيحت خرج الدم من الجرح بعد سنين عديدة. The martyrs who died fighting with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in the battle of Uhud, many years after they were buried, like 40 years I think after they were buried, the flesh, what do you call this water that suddenly comes quickly? The flash flood. The flash flood uncovered the their bodies in their graves, the bodies of some of them, and they were just as they were buried. Even one of them had his hand covering his wound, and it was moved from there and the blood started coming out from the wound. I know, like maybe 15 years ago, maybe, in a city in Lebanon called Ba'lebek, people were digging in a place and they did not know that there was a grave there. So they were digging and they uncovered a dead person. And he was dressed, he was buried in his clothes, and those clothes were similar to the clothes that, like long time ago, the Ottoman army used to wear, the soldiers of the Ottoman army used to wear. So this few hundred years ago he was buried there. And they saw him, he was as as if he was just buried. His body was as if he was just buried after a few hundred years passed, lapsed on him. So most likely he was a martyr. وأقل الغسل إزالة النجاسة وتعميم جميع بشره وشعره وإن كثف مرة بالماء المطهر. The author said the minimum obligatory washing of the dead is to remove the najas filth and to use purifying water to wash the dead's whole skin and hair, even if the hair was thick. شرح ذلك أن غسل الميت لا يصح إلا بالماء المطهر الذي هو غير مستعمل وغير نجس. The explanation: the obligatory washing of the dead person is not valid except by using purifying water, which is neither najas filthy nor used, as we explained in the past classes, not used to lift ritual impurity or to remove a najas filth. ولا تغير بمخالط تغيرا كثيرا. And this water needs to be unchanged by mixing with another pure material, which means if it is changed a lot by mixing with another pure material, then it is not valid to use it for al-ghusl, to wash the dead person. ولا يجب نية لهذا الغسل. There is no necessary intention for this washing. يعني يصح من غير نية, which means it is valid without an intention. لذلك لو غسله بل لكن يسن, but it is sunnah to do that. لذلك لو غسله كافر أجزأ. This is why if a non-Muslim even washes the dead Muslim, it is valid. ويسن أن يغض الغاسل بصره عن غير عورته, أما عن العورة فواجب. It is an obligation for the one who is washing the dead person not to look to his unlawful nakedness. And it is sunnah not to look to the rest of his body. وإذا أراد غسل عورته يغسلها بخرقة أو نحوها في يده, يعني بحيث لا يمس عورته بيده. And if he wants to, if the one who's washing wants to scrub the unlawful nakedness of the dead person, he needs to do that with a barrier. It is not permissible for him to touch it with his skin. والأفضل أن يغسل الذكر الذكور. If the dead person is a male, then it is better that men would wash him. لكن لو غسلته زوجته يجوز. But if his wife washes him, it is permissible. سيدنا أبو بكر غسلته زوجته. Our master Abu Bakr, his wife washed him. لكن الذكر أولى. But it is better that a male washes him. وكذلك الزوجة لو غسلها زوجها جاز. Likewise, it is permissible for the husband to wash his wife. السيدة فاطمة غسلها زوجها. When Lady Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, died, her husband Ali was the one who washed her. لكن الأولى بالمرأة النساء. If the dead person is a woman, then it is better that woman wash her. فإن لم يوجد إلا أجانب. إن ماتت المرأة ولم يوجد إلا رجال أجانب, ما في محارم ولا زوج, فهنا وجب أن تيمم. If the woman dies and there is no one in the area, no other woman in the area to wash her, there are only marriageable men. There is no husband, no mahram relative, non-marriageable relative, and no woman. Only marriageable men. Then at-tayammum would be performed for her. يعني يمسح وجهها ويداها بالتراب, which means her face and her hands, forearms up to and including the elbows, would be wiped with soil. وكذلك الرجل إن لم يحضره إلا نساء أجنبيات. Likewise, the man, if he dies and there are no men to wash him, no non-marriageable woman, his wife is not there, there are only marriageable women, then he would be, at-tayammum would be performed for him. فإن خشية على الميت أن يتهرى جسمه إذا غسل سقط غسله. Now if one dies and it is feared that if he is washed then his body is going to decay, then he is not washed. It is not an obligation to wash him in this case. مثلا الذي يموت بالحريق وأحيانا الذي يموت ببعض السموم لو وضع الماء على بدنه يتهرى بدنه. في هذه الحال سقط غسله. ييمم مثلا. In some cases, when the person dies because of burning, because he's burned, or because taking some types of poisons, then if you put water on the body falls in parts. In this case, it is not an obligation to wash him, wazir, this dead person, a tayammum would be performed for this dead person. This tayammum, when we mentioned that the woman, if there are no non-marriageable, if there are no women to wash her, etc., the men make a tayammum for her with a burial. And likewise, if a man dies and there are only women, marriageable women to in the area, then they make tayammum for him with a burial. وأقل الكفن ساتر جميع البدن وثلاث لفائف لمن ترك تركة زائدة على دينه ولم يوصي بتركها. The author said, the minimum obligatory shroud is that which covers the whole body. Three wraps are used for the person who died, leaving an inheritance exceeding his debts, provided he did not have a will advising not to wrap him in three wraps. شرح ذلك أنه لا بد في الكفن أن يستر كل بدن الميت. The explanation for shrouding to be valid, it has to cover the whole body of the dead person. باستثناء من مات محرما بالحج فإن رأسه يترك مكشوفا. With the exception of the one who dies while he is in the state of ihram, the man who dies while he is in the state of ihram in Hajj, performing al-Hajj, for example, then he would be shrouded without covering his head. وذلك حتى يبعث يوم وذلك لأنه يبعث يوم القيامة ملبيا أي قائلا لبيك اللهم لبيك, يبعث على هيئة الإحرام ملبيا. Because on the day of judgment he is resurrected at the same way when he was in al-ihram, in al-hajj, while saying لبيك اللهم لبيك. ومثله المرأة المحرمة لا يستر وجهها بالكفن إذا ماتت وهي محرمة. Likewise, the woman who dies in the state of ihram, her face is not covered when she is shrouded. لأنها تبعث ملبية. Because she also would be resurrected in that form. ولا بد أن يكون الكفن من الثياب التي تحل للميت لو كان حيا, فلا يكفن الرجل بالحرير مثلا. The shroud has to be with a material which is not with a material which is permissible for the person to wear it if the person was alive. Which means, for example, it is not permissible to shroud the man who dies with silk, because when he is alive, he is not allowed to wear silk. So when he dies, we do not shroud him with silk material. ولا يجب تكفينه بالجديد It is not an obligation to shroud him with a new material. يجوز الجديد واللبيس. If it is new or not, it does not affect the validity of the shroud. ثم الميت إما أن يوصي قبل موته بترك تكفينه بثلاث لفائف أو لا. Moreover, the dead person, there are two cases for the dead person. Either he makes a will that he makes a will, it does not need to be written, a written one, oral or written. So either he makes a will that do not use three wraps to shroud me or not. إن أوصى أن يتركوا تكفينه بالثلاث يكفنوا بلفافة واحدة. If he makes a will to leave out shrouding him with three wraps, then he would be shrouded with one wrap, only one. If he makes a will, do not shroud me with three. فإن لم يترك وصية بذلك وترك تركة زائدة على دينه تكفي لتكفينه بالثلاث وجبت له الثلاث. Now if he does not make such a will and the inheritance is enough after paying the debts that were due on him to shroud him with three wraps, then shrouding him with three wraps is an obligation. In this case, it is an obligation to shroud him with three wraps. So, in other terms, if someone dies and he does not leave a will, without making a will not to shroud him with three wraps, and he leaves enough money to shroud him with three wraps after paying the debts that were due on him, then it is an obligation to wrap him, to shroud him with three wraps. If he makes a will that he would not be shrouded in three wraps, then he would be shrouded in one. His will would be fulfilled. فَإِنْ أَوْصَى أَنْ يُكَفَّنْ بِمَا يَسْتُرُ الْعَوْرَ فَقَطْ لَا تُنَفَّذُ وَصِيَّتُهُ. Now if he makes a will to be shrouded with only what covers what's between the navel and the knees, his will would not be fulfilled in this case. It would not be fulfilled in this case. The whole body has to be covered when shrouding. Allah. كان في الحبشة منذ يمكن منذ نحو 20 سنة أو كان مات. كان رجل بحسب الظاهر بين الناس ليس معروفا بأنه من الأولياء، لكنه رجل صالح تعلم كفاية من العلم وكان حسن الخلق تاركا للمعاصي، وكان صالحا لكن ليس مشهورا بين الناس باسم المشيخة، وكان له اعتناء كبير بأمر المولد النبوي الشريف. كل سنة بذكرى المولد يعمل احتفالا كبيرا يطعم الناس الطعام لله تعالى. ثم هذا الرجل مات، أخذه الناس ليدفنوه. بعدما دفنوه بعدما ردوا عليه التراب سمعوا صوتا مثل الانفجار، فظنوا أن بعض الطائرات الحربية تضرب ذلك المكان، لأنه كان في ذلك الوقت حرب في ذلك البلد. ثم تبين لهم أن الأرض انشقت على بعد نحو 2 متر من هذا القبر، من حيث قبروه دفنوه. ثم وجدوا انكشف القبر، ثم وجدوا هذا الرجل كان عليه 3 لفائف، وجدوه ترك لفافتين في القبر وطار، خرج من القبر طائرا وعليه لفافة واحدة. الله أعلم أين ذهب. بعض الذين يدفنون بعد موتهم الملائكة تنقل جثثهم، وبعض الذين يدفنون بعد موتهم الملائكة تنقل جثثهم من تلك الأرض إلى أرض مباركة كمكة أو المدينة مثلا. يكون دفن إنسان خبيث في المدينة، الملائكة تخرج جثته من المدينة ويؤتى بشخص من الطيبين فيكون مكانه. Maybe 20 years ago. When was the war in Ethiopia? The last time. Like 20 years ago? Yeah. About 20 years ago, a man died in Ethiopia. He was not famous to be a sheikh, as a sheikh. But he was a good person. He learned enough among the matters of the religion. He applied. He had good manners. And he used to take care of celebrating al-Mawlid, the birth of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He was famous for that. Every year at the time of al-Mawlid, he would make food, a lot of food, and invite the people, etc. Then he died. The people washed him, shrouded him, and took him to bury him. They prayed for him and they took him to bury him. They buried him, and before they left the grave, they heard like an explosion. So they thought that some military airplanes were bombarding the area. At that time there was war in that area. And then they discovered that more than 2 yards away from the grave, the earth split. And then this man was uncovered in his grave. So He was shrouded with 3 wraps. So he took off 2 of those 2-3 wraps. He left them in the grave And then he flew out of the grave. Allahu A'lam where he went, to which place. And some people who die, and they are sometimes some good people, pious people, who are buried out, who are buried. After they are buried, the angels take them to a holy land, like to Mecca or to Al-Madinah, and they would be there. The bad people who die in Al-Madinah, and they are buried in Al-Madinah, the angels take their bodies outside Al-Madinah. In the past, before there are all those buildings in Al-Madinah, the people of Al-Madinah, they used to see at night sometimes camels, like a caravan of camels, with people taking dead bodies from the graves and going away with them. Those would be the angels taking people who are really who are not believers, and they were buried there. They died, apparently they were treated as Muslims, but really they were not. The angels would take them outside of Al-Madinah. Not long time ago, one of the leaders of the Wahhabis died, so they buried him in Al-Baqi' in Al-Madinah. And at the same time, a man in the area of Badr died, so they buried him there. Later, the son of that man who died in Badr, at the Badr area, he remembered, he searched for an important paper that he had, and he was convinced that it fell in the grave when he was burying his father. So he went to the city and he asked for a permission to open the grave of his father to get this paper. They gave him the permission. He opened the grave and he found that Wahhabi leader in that grave. He did not find his father. The angels threw him out of Al-Madinah, to that they took him out of Al-Madinah. After he was buried in Al-Madinah, they took him out of Al-Madinah. Because they do not leave such bad people in it, even if they are buried there. طيب وأقل الصلاة عليه أن ينوي فعل الصلاة عليه Now how would one pray for a dead person? What are the integrals? Just the integrals of that prayer. أقل الصلاة على الميت المسلم أن ينوي فعل الصلاة عليه والفرض ويعين the least of the first integral for the janazah prayer is to have the intention. In this intention, one has to have the intention of praying. لا بد في النية من نية الصلاة. ولا بد من أن يعين أنها صلاة جنازة. Also, one has to intend that this is the janazah prayer. So just intending, just for one to intend that he is praying is not enough. He has to intend the janazah prayer for the dead person. ولا بد من أن ينوي الفرض بأن يقول فيقول في قلبه مثلا أصلي فرض صلاة الجنازة على هذا الميت أو على الميت الذي في المحراب أو على الميت الذي يصلي عليه الإمام أو ما شابه. Also, he needs to have the intention in his heart that this is an obligatory prayer. So one intends, for example, in his heart, I now perform the janazah prayer for this dead Muslim, if the dead Muslim was there, or for the dead Muslim which is in al-mihrab, which is put in the al-mihrab, or for the dead Muslim that the imam is praying for, something like that. He has to have an intention similar to that. ويقول الله أكبر وهو قائم إن قدر. هذه النية لا بد أن تكون مع التكبير كما في سائر الصلوات، وهو قائم إن كان قادرا كما في سائر الصلوات. Just like in other prayers, this intention has to take place while standing and saying Allahu Akbar, just like other prayers. ثم يقرأ الفاتحة. Then one recites الفاتحة. فهي ركن في صلاة الجنازة كما في سائر الصلوات. It is an integral to recite الفاتحة, just as in other prayers. ولا يشترط أن تكون بعد التكبيرة الأولى, لكن الأفضل أن تكون بعد التكبيرة الأولى. It is not a condition that reciting Al-Fatiha takes place after the opening Allahu Akbar. It is better that it takes place after that takbir. But it can be recited after, at any stage of the janazah prayer, before as-salam. ثم يقول الله أكبر بعد الفاتحة يكبر. After reciting الفاتحة, one says الله أكبر. ثم يقول اللهم صل على محمد. Then one says اللهم صل على محمد. أو صيغة أخرى تجزئ. Or any other way of as-salā 'ala an-nabī, which is valid. ثم يقول الله أكبر. Then he says الله أكبر. ثم يدعو للميت فيقول اللهم اغفر له وارحمه مثلا. Then he makes dua for the dead person. يدعو له بأمر أخروي He makes a dua for the dead person, a dua which pertains to the hereafter. Like saying, "Oh Allahumma ghfir lahu warhamhu," which means, "Oh Allah, forgive him and have mercy on him." Masalan. ثم يقول الله أكبر. Then he says الله أكبر. ثم يقول السلام عليكم. Then he says السلام عليكم. إذن صلاة الجنازة أربع تكبيرات. Then the prayer of جنازه has four in it. There are four تكبير. مع الأولى تكون النية. With the first one, one would have the intention. بعدها يقرأ الفاتحة. After it, one recites الفاتحة. ثم يكبر. Then one says الله أكبر. ثم يصلي على النبي. After that, he makes a الصلاة على النبي. ثم يكبر. Then he says الله أكبر. ثم يدعو للميت. Then he makes دعاء for the dead person. ثم يكبر. Then he says الله أكبر. ثم يسلم. Then يقول السلام عليكم. لو رجع إلى الدعاء بعد الرابعة قبل السلام جاز. If he goes back and if he makes دعاء after the fourth time he says الله أكبر before he says السلام عليكم, it is permissible. فلا ركوع ولا سجود في صلاة الجنازة. So there is no ركوع and no سجود in the جنازة prayer. One does it while standing up. If he is able, if he is not able, then he sits to do it. ولا بد فيها من شروط الصلاة وترك المبطلات. The author said, the one who performs the funeral prayer must satisfy the conditions and avoid the invalidators of prayer. يعني أن صلاة الجنازة صلاة كسائر الصلوات. فلا بد من مراعاة شروط الصلاة فيها واجتناب مبطلات الصلوات فيها. The prayer of Jinaza is a prayer. So one needs to observe the conditions of the prayer when doing it and avoid the invalidators of the prayer when doing it. مثلاً لابد من ستر العورة. For example, one has to cover his unlawful nakedness. لابد من استقبال القبلة. One needs to face القبلة. لا ليس له لابد أن يجتنب حمل النجاسة. He would be clear from the unexempted نجاسة, etc. He needs to observe the conditions of the prayers and avoid the invalidators of the prayer. ويندب فيها ما يندب في سائر الصلوات. Also things that are sunnah in other prayers, they are sunnah also in this prayer. مثل رفع اليدين عند تكبيرة الإحرام, like to lift one's hands when he says الله أكبر and the like. ومثل التعوذ قبل القراءة, and like to say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم before reciting الفاتحة. لكن لا يسن فيها دعاء الافتتاح ولا قراءة السورة بعد الفاتحة. But it is not sunnah in the janazah prayer to recite the opening supplication. وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض حنيفا مسلما وما أنا من المشركين إلى آخره. This is not sunnah. It is not sunnah to say it, although it is sunnah to say it in other types of prayers at the beginning. Likewise, it is not sunnah to recite a surah after Al-Fatiha. So one recites Al-Fatiha and he does not recite a surah after it when he is praying Al-Janazah. So he starts with Allahu Akbar, then A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim, then Al-Fatiha, then he goes to the second takbir without reciting anything after Al-Fatiha. InshaAllah. أظن هذا يكفي. Let us stop here for now. InshaAllah نكمل غدا. We will continue tomorrow, InshaAllah. Wallahu A'lam. Allah knows best. حتى لا نتأخر, so we wouldn't be late. I will delay answering those questions until tomorrow. Okay? Don't be sad. بس منجاوب سؤال حاج. ها؟ يسر بصلاة الجنازة. He does not recite with a loud voice. بارك الله. تفضل حاج. يعني يزاد ما يكفي ليستر كل البدن. إذا على المعنى اللائق به, ليس على معنى غفران الذنوب, ليس أن على معنى أن عليه ذنوب, أن عليه ذنوبا. اسمعوا شوي. Listen a little bit. This is an important thing what Haj Marwan is asking about. He said, when someone dies, if he is not pubescent, do we say in a du'a, Allahumma ghfir lahu warhamhu, which means, O Allah, forgive him and have mercy on him? I answered yes. Now, ighfir lahu in Arabic, which is translated usually forgive him, does not mean always forgive him his sins, because this little child has no sins. He is not pubescent. He is not accountable. It has other meanings. It has another meaning that befits the situation of this little child. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام used to say أستغفر الله 100 times every day. It does not mean that the Prophet was doing every day 100 sins. This issue, this term, has a meaning that befits that situation. And also when we say, when we make dua for the little child who dies, Allahumma ghfir lahu, it does not mean forgive his sins. It has a meaning that befits the situation of this little child. Barakallahu fiqh ya haj. طيب, خلونا نهلل ثم. Yeah, go ahead, ask. Can you repeat? The funeral prayer? No, there is not a specific number. That satisfies the communal obligation. Yes, usually there is an imam. Yeah, you can pray in jama'ah, and you can pray it each one alone. Yes, تفضل. بنحكي فيها بعدين إن شاء الله. Yes. I can't hear you at all. If the Muslims, I can't hear you. Ah, his head was chopped off. Okay. Yes, you wash the head and the body. Yes. You need to wash both of them if they are there. Yes. Barakallahu feekum. Let's say, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم بارك الله فيكم